obsessed.
Yeah, I bought all my Easter chocolate on Woolworths online, so I wouldn't go overboard, but I misread one of the things, so I bought more eggs than I thought I did.
Oopsies. I mean, too much chocolate is never a bad thing.
Yeah,
sure. That's how I feel about it anyway.
Fair enough.
We're back.
Yeah. It's been weird.
It's been a minute. Well, the first time wasn't my fault because I lost my voice for 3 days.
So. Oh, that's right. That's why we didn't record. That's funny.
Because we were supposed to do last Sunday. Not the one just been, the week before, but I had no voice. And then that took 3 days. And then we were like, oh, we'll make it up during the week. And then I was busy and then you were busy. And then we were
I wonder if I should put that voice clip in you sent me.
Oh, can you?
I can try.
That would be funny.
If the next thing has a voice clip of Laura without a voice telling me she has no voice, then it worked. If not, too bad.
I went to bed and I felt fine and I woke up this morning and I don't feel sick at all. It's just I have no voice.
I really thought about like coming anyway and just doing a whole episode with no voice, but I'm like, that's going to be really annoying.
Yeah. Like, what'd she say? And also then you wouldn't get it back for like a week.
Yep.
Yeah.
I must admit, whenever I, because I lose my voice a lot, like it just happens. And every time I really struggle to just like shut the fuck up for like a few days. Like even living by myself, I'm just still talking to myself. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. It won't come back.
Oh my God.
But I'm just a nightmare.
Hi, I'm Ash.
I'm Laura, with a voice this time.
I lost my voice once in like high school during a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't talk for a few days. It was fine. It's kind of nice. But it didn't come back properly, I think, for like 3 months.
Damn.
Like, I could speak, but it just didn't sound right.
What?
But apparently to everybody else I sounded normal, but to me I didn't sound the same. It was really strange.
Fucked with your head.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah. I mean, my voice is always, like, just a little bit cracky now and just...
Yeah, I think mine's tired. Like that too.
I think life is just stressful. And our voices can't cope, so...
Fair enough.
But yeah, so then we were going to make it up during the week, but then we were busy, and so we were like, well, we'll just do our normal Sunday, and then we'll make it up the week after. But then you had tickets.
Oh, yeah, I had tickets we fucking forgot about.
Whoopsies.
And so now fine. We went. Everything was good.
Was it fun?
Good time. Yes. And I'm so glad we paid extra for the VIP tickets because it fucking rained most of the day.
Oh, no.
So, like... People I knew were out in the crowd, like, just in general admission. And I was like, oh, suck it. Yeah. But also, it was really good setup because, like, we had access to literally the front of the stage.
Oh, wow.
And instead of it being, like, just open, there was, like, an open area, but then there was also all these plastic tables and chairs directly in front of the stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was just a really cool setup. I really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. And you got a picture with Tones and I.
Yeah, so she wasn't even playing.
Really?
No, she was there because her boyfriend works as a soundie. For the Jungle Giants. So, yeah, she was just there. But, like, I didn't pick it straight away. Tana picked it.
Oh, really?
We were sitting there and she, like, walked in. And, like, I wasn't even really paying attention. And she sort of didn't get let in to our area first because she didn't have her tag, like her pass. And she was, like, apparently, I made friends with the girl at the door because we were sitting kind of close to each other. Apparently, she was, like, I'm Tones and I. Like, she was really awkward about it, but she was like, please just let me in. I don't want to have to go all the way back to get my pass.
Aww.
And then she was like, oh, yeah, sure, sorry. But, I mean, she was wearing a wig.
Oh, okay.
And she had a bright pink mask on and sunglasses, so.
She was incognito
I'm
mode.
Surprised that, yeah, like, of course, the door did, like, the girl at the door didn't notice her.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty fair enough.
Yeah. But as she walked past, like, we didn't hear her say that, but as she walked past, Hannah went, is that Tones? And I was like, I have no idea, like, not paying attention. And he Googles it and he was like, that's Tones. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay.
Nice.
So well done, Tana. Very good with faces, that boy.
Well done.
I have the hiccups.
Uh-oh.
Did you see me almost just pour that down my face?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm glad you did because yeah. I could see that.
Well. So, yeah, that's been my week.
Mm-hmm. I made myself rest and I nearly went insane.
God forbid Laura sits down for a minute.
I like resting when I want to, but when I have to rest for my health, I get really salty about it. I'm just like, I have things to do. I can't be resting. It's like, what would you be doing right now? I don't know, but it would be important.
Resting, but it's my own choice. I'm not being forced to do it.
Exactly. But I watched a lot of shows. I have a good recommendation station thing.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that later. But
cool.
yeah, that's basically been my week.
Yeah, mine hasn't been very eventful either. My story, we'll just get into it. So you've got part two. So I'm going first this week.
Yeah.
And I just opened Safari and that's not what I was trying to click on.
Whoopsies.
So I did the thing this week again where I had a story most of the way written and then I realized it was a lot bigger than I originally thought, so I changed my story at about 1 o'clock today and it's now 5 o'clock.
Good effort.
Yes, thanks. So this is the story of Chris Kremers and Lisanne Froon.
Wow, those are some names.
Yeah, and even if you don't know the story right now, you will very quickly, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to know this, but at the moment I'm like, no clue.
Yeah, okay. So at the beginning of 2014, friends, co-workers and roommates, Chris Kremer and Lisanne Froon from the Netherlands, as a celebration trip for graduating university, plan a backpacking, humanitarian and educational trip to Panama.
Yep.
I was looking at Laura to see if anything clicked, but not yet. Okay.
No, Panama. Yeah. I have an inkling, but yep. I could be wrong.
I don't think you are. Okay. So their plan was to visit the sites, experience the culture, use the trip as a way to assist in like learning Spanish and also help out local community schools.
Very nice.
Nice.
Good intentions.
Yeah.
Breathe.
I don't know how. My lungs are full of pasta.
feels.
I just ate the biggest, just... Maybe this is pasta brain or something, but I just ate the biggest bowl of just, like, plain pasta, like, maybe half an hour before Laura got here.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got here, I was asleep on the couch.
The pasta coma.
So, really, I only woke up 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. This is going to go really well. Yeah. I can tell.
Mm-hmm. So, the pair had arrived for their vacation on the 15th of March. They spent 2 weeks doing a sort of, like, whirlwind tour of Panama before settling into, I think it's Buket.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Q in there. I don't know.
Close enough.
On the 29th.
Okay.
So Buket was the town that they had organized to live with a local family for a month while on the humanitarian part of their adventure helping local kids. A few days into their stay, the girls decide they would like to go hiking before they really buckle into their volunteering. They choose to go for a day hike on the El, I think it's Pianista?
Mm-hmm.
El Pianista Trail.
Just a trail shot that, in the dark. It.
Yeah.
Close enough.
I'm just having a go. So it's a trail that goes through the clouded forest that surrounds the Baru volcano, like right next to the village kind of thing.
Okay.
Lisanne and Chris had only planned for a day hike. They had a bottle of water, a small supply of snacks, swimsuits, their phone and camera for photos, and a light singlet and shorts, each with their hiking boots.
I definitely know this case now.
Yep.
Yep.
They post a photo or two at the beginning of their hike on Facebook, but very quickly the updates stop coming.
Uh-oh.
11 a.m. on the 1st of April, the pair say goodbye to their host family on their way out and venture into the forest. It wouldn't be until the next morning when they miss their booking with a local guide to give them a tour of the village that the host family calls the authorities to report them missing.
Mm-hmm.
April 2nd, a nearby search and rescue is conducted, but nothing is found.
Mm-hmm.
April 3rd, an aerial search is conducted of the trail. Nothing is found.
Uh-oh.
April 6th, the Netherlands authorities and the women's parents arrive in Buket. The Netherlands bring police, dog units, and detectives. Because Panama's, like, it's not the richest country, so they don't have the biggest infrastructure for this kind of stuff.
Damn, they flew everything in.
Yeah, they really did.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So the search with international forces happens for 10 days.
Wow.
The parents even offer a $30,000 US reward for information that leads to the girls, but absolutely nothing happens.
Damn.
Yeah. It wouldn't be until 10 weeks later, on the 14th of June, that a local woman finds a blue backpack by the river near her home.
Mm-hmm.
The woman was sure she hadn't seen it there the day before. The backpack contained two pairs of sunglasses, $83 US in cash, Lisanne's passport, a water bottle, Lisanne's camera, two bras, and the woman's phones, both of which were in good condition.
Oh, that's very ominous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The phones is the thing that gets me.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
When analyzed, the phones show that just over 5 hours into their hike, so they left at 11, so it's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's not even dark then.
Oh my God.
Chris had tried to dial 112, which is like the international emergency number,
mm-hmm.
but there was no reception in the area. The forest is too thick.
Okay. Shit.
Lisanne also tried to no avail about 20 minutes after.
Okay.
On the 2nd of April, the phones show one attempt from Chris and four from Lisanne. Lisanne's phone also showed that it was turned on twice to check signal and is left on all night from about 4 p.m.
Okay.
On the 3rd, Lisanne's phone is off by 7:30 in the morning. One call attempt is made from Chris's at about 9:30 and two signal checks during daylight. So the signal checks is just like turning it on.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily like making the call, but turning it on probably to obviously check to see if they had signal or not. Yeah,
like, can I call now? No. Okay, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By 5 a.m. on the 4th, Lisanne's phone has checked for signal twice that morning, and at 5 a.m. on the dot, it dies from low battery.
Okay.
Chris's phone is turned on twice, once in the morning and once in the early afternoon, but it's still out of range.
Mm-hmm.
On the 5th, at 10:50, the phone is unlocked for the last time. At 1:37 p.m, the phone is turned on, but either no PIN code or the wrong PIN code is entered.
Interesting.
Mm. The 6th has two attempts to connect, but again, both times either no PIN or an incorrect PIN is entered. And they're also attempting to dial 911, which is Panama's local emergency number, and 112, which is international.
Okay.
Inspecting the camera they found in the bag, on April 8th, 90 flash photos were taken between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. So apparently deep in the jungle and in near complete darkness, a few photos show that they were possibly near a river or a ravine, and you can actually go on and see most of the photos, but not all of the photos.
Okay.
Which is sus to me, but people say it's just because there's nothing in them. Then show them to me.
exactly. Show me the nothingness.
Yeah. Some show like a twig with plastic bags and like candy wrappers and stuff like that on top of a rock. Another shows what looks like it might be like toilet paper or tissue or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a mirror or like a piece of reflective material on another rock. And another shows the back of what looks like Chris's head. And I've seen some that say like, and there's like blood on her temple. And I was like, I can't see that.
Okay.
You know.
Sound like markings that they're taking pictures of, like the rubbish on the ground. And
yeah, I didn't think about that.
Oh,
I feel like you could probably get better markings than candy wrappers, though, because that shit can, like, blow away and be moved.
Well, yeah, but it's like they could be panicking and just being like, just put anything anywhere. We need to remember where we... Like, if they're lost or something,
yeah.
Might be trying to mark their trail and take pictures and be like, okay, this is one. And
at 4 a.m.?
Possibly. I mean, if there's... So picture they're like lost in the forest, right? And they're like, we don't know which way to go. So they'll be like, okay, well, let's start dropping stuff. We'll try this way. But if it's wrong, we might need to come back.
I don't trust the forest. I'm not moving around at night.
This is why I don't get hiking.
Like, yeah.
No.
Unless it's like out in the open and there's like 40 other people on the trail. Like people in the US hike Hollywood Hills and stuff all the time. But yeah, that's just
like it. Yeah. Unless there's like a paved pathway that I just follow start to finish.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
But it's mainly because I have no sense of direction and I get lost going to my own house. So,
fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just self-preservation, to be honest.
That's probably a good idea.
Yep.
I think as long as you're in an area you know has, like, cell service and people do it every day, it's okay. But this is one of those trails that it's, like, it's kind of off the beaten path. It's, you know, a developing country. It's... Mm. You know, there's lots of things that could go wrong. It's not close to, like, your home. You've been there 2 days.
Yeah.
And you probably don't have very good reception.
Plus, it's, like, it's foreign landscapes. It's, you know, plants you don't know. Like,
yeah.
It'd be really hard to be like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, you're from the Netherlands and you're going into a rainforest.
Very not a good idea.
Yeah. Which some people do it all the time. I'm just saying it's not for me.
Well, I'm thinking they should probably have like a satellite phone if they're going to be doing stuff like this.
They thought they were going to be gone for a day, but I mean, they very easily could have like heard a waterfall somewhere and decided to go in a bit deeper to try and find the waterfall or, you know, something like that, and then just not been able to find their way back out.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, no, I know where to go, it's fine. It's like, can you get back though?
Yeah. So they took nearly 90 something photos, and when they were looking at the photos, they were all numbered, you know how on cameras are numbered, and only one had been deleted.
That's weird.
So photo 509 was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the photo that would have been located between the last daylight photo taken on the 1st of April and the first photo in the nighttime series taken on April 8th.
Mm. That's very specific.
Yeah. It's a weird time for that to have happened.
Yeah.
And they were never able to bring photo 509 back.
Bugger. See, that's the thing. Like, if they're saying that, oh, we didn't put out photos because there was nothing on them, or, like, you know, we've just got pictures of, like, the back of someone's head and, like, rubbish on the ground, like, why would they all of a sudden be like, oh, no, this photo has nothing in it, I'll delete this one? Like,
that's really weird. I think you also can't tell when it was deleted. So if it was deleted on the 8th when they were taking all those random photos, or if it was deleted, like, immediately after because it was a shit picture. Like, you can't tell, which is just really annoying.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, the final phone records show that Chris's phone is turned on at 10:51 a.m. on the 11th of April, and the phone stayed locked. And at 11:56, with 22% battery left, the phone is turned off with no further activity until it's discovered.
Okay.
So, it wasn't run into the ground. It was still able to be turned on. It just wasn't happening.
Uh-oh.
So a lot of people do think that maybe because it was Chris's phone, that something had happened to Chris and it was Lisanne that was trying to use the phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or it was somebody else.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't sound like it was Chris using her own phone.
No, because she would have unlocked it.
Exactly. Interesting.
So the backpack triggered a search to be reinstated along the river. In that case, it had simply, the backpack triggered the search to be reinstated along the river in the case that it had simply floated to its destination and wasn't, like, dumped.
Mm-hmm.
A few kilometres from the backpack's discovery location, Chris's denim shorts were discovered washed up atop a rock.
Okay.
And there are some reports out there saying that the shorts are zipped up and folded neatly. But they released photos of finding the shorts, and that's just not true.
Right, okay.
They'd definitely been washed up.
Okay.
2 months later, closer to where the backpack was discovered, a pelvis bone and a boot with a foot still inside were found.
I don't like that.
No, I hate that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about my little...
Something about body parts still in clothes.
Yeah, it's... It's just gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also that such, I guess, like, the shoe would probably protect it, but, like, that's such a difference. It's like a bone, just a bone, but then a decomposing foot still in the, you know?
Yeah, it's not right.
No. I also don't like the idea of just one shoe by itself.
I don't
know why that's the problem I have.
Yeah, where's the other shoe? Don't worry about the other foot, but, like, where's the other shoe?
Stupid.
No, you know what? Like, whenever I look at, like, true crimey stuff, it's the dismemberment that gets me. Like, murder, yep, I can cope with it fine. But it's like, once you start cutting up bits and people are finding bits, I'm just like...
Yeah, bits are bad.
Bits are bad. You just know something bad's happened.
Yeah.
Mm.
So at least 33 widely scattered human bones were discovered along the same riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
DNA testing confirmed that they belonged to Lisanne and Chris.
Okay.
Lisanne's bones still had some skin attached to them, but Chris's bones appear to have been bleached. So that can happen from the sun.
Yeah.
That can also, this is gross, happen from stomach acid. Like animal stomach acid.
Okay.
But show me an animal that can pass a kidney. Pass a pelvic bone.
Well, I was about to say, if it's on, like, the little bone fragments, I could be like, yeah, okay. But, like, a whole pelvis bone?
Mm.
Unlikely.
It was just one side. but it's still a big, yeah, that's, it looks like a shoulder blade. It's kind of, it's the same shape. Yeah. Yeah.
It's still pretty. I mean, imagining, like, even a big creature like a bear, like, theoretically, it's got to eat it and then either throw it up or shit it out.
I was thinking alligator, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think bears are in the rainforest.
I was just thinking of the biggest creature I could think of, and I went with
blue whale.
Oh, blue whale.
Blue whale's not in the rainforest either.
No.
They could easily pass a pelvic bone.
I think we can rule this not plausible for stomach acid.
For blue whale. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless they just have, like, a vat of stomach acid somewhere, and they're just like, oop.
I feel like a vat of acid would just be more probable than stomach acid, particularly.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what people do in the rainforest.
I don't know what people do in the rainforest. This is my favorite word. A Panamanian.
Oof.
Yeah. A Panamanian forensic anthropologist later claimed that under magnification, there are no discernible scratches of any kind on the bones, neither of natural nor cultural origin. There are no marks on the bones at all.
Don't like that.
Yeah,
very worried.
So some explanations are things like parasites in the water, dysentery, toxic plants and fruits, venomous animals or insects, as well as starvation, are all plausible causes of death for an inexperienced hiker. It's possible that during the 10 days the girls were presumed alive and lost, they just couldn't find safe food or water to live off. They couldn't, that means they would have then not been able to think logically, possibly gotten injured and succumbed, or perhaps it was something more sinister.
Hmm.
But that's it. That's all we got on it. Ugh. I think they veered off the trail, got lost, tried to sort of rectify it, got lost even further, maybe like fell and hurt themselves, or one of them passed out before the other one.
Yeah.
And it sort of went haywire from there.
I mean, if both of their remains are washing up in the same location, it kind of implies that their bodies at least ended up in the same location.
Yeah.
Because if it was sort of like one died and then maybe the other one lived for another little while and then eventually succumbed, like, unless she just sat there and cried the whole time.
Yeah.
You'd expect her to at least try and find help and be wandering around. But I watched something on this case and they talked about a theory about a local tribe, like, kind of hurting them, cannibalizing them.
I saw that, but I didn't see anything that supported it at all.
Okay.
Like, I think there was, like, one sort of probably problematic rumor about, like, rainforest tribes or something.
Okay.
And then that was kind of it.
Yeah, it wasn't like a, oh, there's local tribes in the area and they've done this before. It's like,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. No, nothing I could see that actually didn't just sound like racist garbage.
Yeah, I remember, I forget where I watched this, so I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus here, but I remember...
I bet you anything was...
I don't think it was...
Okay.
No. No, I don't think they did this one. But no, I think it was some... It was very much like, oh, we saw, like, someone in the back of the pictures, and, oh, it was probably a local tribe, and I was like... There is no evidence of that. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, it does sound likely that they kind of just succumbed to elements of some kind. But I mean...
Because there's a theory that because of the town that they found a lot of the remains in, they don't think that they would have died, like, next to that area, because people sort of walk in and around it all the time.
So they would have been seen.
So, yeah, or they would have heard or seen something. So they're thinking maybe up the river or something, in like, have come down the hill because it's a rainforest as well. So some of their weather can get pretty fucking insane.
Well, I was just thinking, did they look at weather patterns, like any sort of landslide activity or?
No landslide stuff, but still, I think things can wash pretty quickly down. I mean, it's the side of a volcano. So things can wash pretty quickly down the side and end up in rivers and bodies of water and stuff. So that could be a thing if they were in a similar area.
Plus, I mean, in a rainforest, you probably have, like, faster decomposition and stuff like that.
Well, it's humid, yeah. Mm.
And there's probably, like, lots of microbes floating around. And
oh, there's so many mosquitoes and bugs and shit.
Yeah.
I don't like the rainforest.
No. Please don't let me die in a rainforest.
I don't think you'll ever go into a rainforest, so I think you're safe.
I think that's a really good assumption to make about me. But no, thank you for that incredibly frustrating case.
You're welcome.
I Look, if I wasn't so against Ouija boards, I'd be like, can we hold a seance and just see if we can get their spirits? But
here in Australia, you think that would work?
If I tried really hard.
If you thought about it real intently.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. But moving on to my case, we'll find out why we shouldn't do that.
Oh, God.
Yay.
Oh, no. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, yeah, I'm doing part two about the Conjuring movie franchise. So I'm going to do the true story behind the Annabelle doll.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Can I leave and you just talk to the wall?
No.
Damn it.
Because your reactions are really funny when you don't like things.
Hmm.
Yep. So the Annabelle doll features in three of the Conjuring movies, which are Annabelle, Annabelle Creation, and Annabelle Comes Home. But she also has a brief appearance in The Conjuring 2, The Curse of La Llorona. I'm sorry if I butchered that. And also in some other films made by like the filmmakers, they often like to throw her in the back of scenes. So
that's rude.
It's funny. So just to wrap our heads around what was in the movies, I went on Google. I found some quick synopses of the movies. So if you don't want spoilers, just skip ahead a little bit.
They've been out forever. Get over it.
They have been out forever, but I don't want to get yelled at. So, okay. So I've put these synopses in order of plot rather than from chronological order of release, because it just wouldn't make sense if I did it the other way.
Yep.
So the first movie to talk about is Annabelle Creation. This was released in 2017. It follows the story of a former toy maker, Sam Mullins, and his wife, Esther. They happily welcome a nun and six orphaned girls into their California farmhouse. But years earlier, the couple's seven-year-old daughter, Annabelle, died in a tragic car accident. Terror soon strikes when one child sneaks into a forbidden room and finds a seemingly innocent doll that appears to have a life of its own. The next movie is Annabelle, which was the first one released in 2014. Which was the year I graduated high school, so we're getting old, guys.
You graduated in 2014?
Yeah. I was young in my class.
I forget that you're younger than me.
Yeah, I know. I'm a baby. I'm only 24.
You know I graduated high school 10 years ago this year?
Holy shit.
Mm.
That's frightening.
I hate it.
Don't you hate aging?
Oh, it sucks.
Okay, so in the movie Annabelle, John Form thinks he's found the perfect gift for his expectant wife, Mia. A vintage doll in a beautiful white dress.
Fuck off, you're wrong.
Couldn't think of anything worse. However, the couple's delight doesn't last long. One terrible night, devil worshippers invade their home and launch a violent attack against the couple. When the cultists try to summon a demon, they smear a bloody rune on the nursery wall and drip blood on Mia's doll, thereby turning the former object of beauty into a conduit for ultimate evil. And the last movie, Annabelle Comes Home, which was released in 2019, follows the plot of that is, determined to keep Annabelle from wreaking more havoc, paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren lock the possessed doll in the artifacts room in their house. But when the doll awakens the room's evil spirits, it soon becomes an unholy night of terror for the couple's 10-year-old daughter, her friends, and their young babysitter. So they're good movies. I do recommend. But when it comes to the true story... Are you okay?
I don't think that they should have a room in their house full of bad things.
You
should have a separate room.
I'm inclined to agree.
You should have a separate house.
We just shouldn't keep cursed things.
You should have a vault that's underground.
Mm-hmm.
And is very easily be able to set on fire.
All right, cool.
It's just my thoughts.
I would tell Ed and Lorraine Warren that, but they have both passed away. So we'll just... I don't know what to do about that. For future reference, guys, okay? Vault, easily set on fire.
Yes.
Okay.
No fire suppressors.
No.
Let that shit burn.
Yep. I'll burn to hell. Okay, so when it comes to the true story behind these movies, this is where we see the most discrepancy between real life and the movies. Although Lorraine Warren was once again a consultant on production, a lot of creative license was taken and the whole story was like lengthened a lot. So a lot of the stuff in the movies didn't actually happen, but it's still incredibly creepy for the real story. So let's get into it. The first thing to know is that the image of the creepy porcelain doll with the braids That needs to be wiped from your memory because the real Annabelle doll is a Raggedy Ann doll.
I can only see Chucky in my head anyway.
Yeah, it's not Chucky either. I think it makes it a bit creepier though because Raggedy Ann dolls, like, they're cute. They're just like these floppy dolls with like the red hair and like.
They're the ones with buttons for eyes?
No, that's Coraline.
I think. Well, I don't think she was first.
I don't know. I don't think they're the button eye ones. I could be wrong, but I don't think I saw it in the pictures. But the reason why it was changed so much is because for the movies, they would have had to get the rights to use a Raggedy Ann doll as an evil conduit. And that would have been impossible. The company wasn't likely to say yes. So they just changed it completely. And they made it look a lot scarier. But yeah, that's why it was so different. So we get into the real story of what happened. So in 1970, a 28-year-old nurse was given the Raggedy Ann doll as a... It was either a Christmas or a birthday present. I couldn't quite figure out which one. Article said different things, but it was some sort of present by her mother. So even though she was 28, like, she loved it. She was so excited to receive it, and she straight away put it lovingly on her bed, like, all display, like, all really nice. But pretty much immediately, she started to notice that the doll would change position on its own.
No.
Yep. So it would either, like, cross its legs, it would be, like, lying on its side, or it would, like, have its arms in a different position. And I sort of read more about this. I was like, oh, did it just, like, fall over? Or, you know, like, it's a raggedy doll. Yeah. But no, it would, like, even, like, raise its arms. So they'd be, like, down by its sides, and they'd come back, and they're up.
Or something. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
It's gonna get worse. So a few days later, the nurse and her roommate, who was also a nurse, they decided, like, just as a goof, to set the doll up at the breakfast table with them. So the doll was, like, sitting on the chair, and then they had to go to their shift. But when they came home later on, they noticed that the doll's arms had moved from resting by her side to now being placed on top of the kitchen table.
No.
Yes. So that happened. Around the apartment, they would find notes written on parchment paper with things like, help me, help us.
Fuck off.
But the weird thing is, they didn't have any parchment paper in their apartment.
What was she doing? Just pulling it out of her head or something?
I don't know. They still don't know
where. What is that doll stuff with?
I don't know. Probably notes from hell. That's what I'm going with.
Mm.
So
that is the creepiest hell mailbox you could get.
Yes. So yeah, they just had no idea where these notes were coming from, who was writing them. It was just very, very creepy. The doll would also appear in different rooms. It would just move around the apartment at this point. And on one occasion, it appeared to be leaking blood. Now, there's two different reports on this. One was that it was like in a little puddle of blood, but it was very clearly blood. The other was that there were like three drops of blood on the back of its head, and its little hands were like red, but reports vary.
I hate it.
Yep. So at first the women thought that maybe it was like an intruder, so someone was like coming into their apartment and messing with them and like leaving the notes and moving the doll around. But this was really,
I don't know if that's worse or not.
Depends how you feel about demons and paranormal shit, really. Yeah. This was quickly ruled out anyway, though. They searched the whole apartment. They were looking for, like, secret doors or people hiding. They didn't find a single thing.
That's worse.
Yeah, it's not
secret good. Doors and hiding is worse than someone coming in, moving a doll and leaving again.
Well, you know those stories of, like, I found someone living in my attic? Or
no. Yes and yeah. No. I hate it.
See, don't live in a house with an attic.
No.
We've said this.
Just, if the tone keeps randomly changing, it's because Milo's in this room. She's not normally in the room.
No.
And I've told her to sit in her bed, and every time she goes to get up, I look at her and she sits back down.
Yeah. Because she knows she's doing bad, but
she's got really tippy-tappy clicky feet.
Yeah.
And we've got a wooden floor, so she needs to sit down, and she knows that.
Mm-hmm. She knows. She's death-staring Ashley right now.
Will it help if I hold you?
Yes. Yeah. Aww. Okay. Milo's happy now. Aww. Ashley's holding Milo like a baby and it's very, very cute.
Ridiculous.
Story time.
I'm just going to mute myself so that her breathing doesn't go straight into.
Okay. So given that they ruled out that there was no intruder or anything, this left one culprit, which was the doll. So the women then contacted a medium who decided to hold a seance to find out if the doll was truly haunted. The medium informed the girls that that a spirit by the name of Annabelle Higgins was inhabiting the Raggedy Ann doll. Annabelle Higgins was a 7-year-old girl who used to live in the apartment that the women were living in now, and was apparently struck and killed by a car just outside of the residence. The medium also told the woman that the spirit felt safe and comfortable with them, and that the spirit wanted to stay with them and be loved. It was at this point the women then gave the spirit permission to inhabit the doll.
No.
Mm-hmm. And they began treating the doll as if it was a real little girl. So they would buy it toys and clothes and jewelry. They would take it on car rides to go get ice cream. Like, they really showed this doll a good time, which is a really bad idea. But unsurprisingly, despite their efforts, the haunting got worse. And the Warrens later explained why when they were eventually called in on the case, which I'll get to in a second.
Don't say yes to a demon.
Literally. So, according to the Warrens, God does not allow the spirits of children to possess objects because, like, they're children, so their spirits are usually really pure. They're not likely to hang around if you believe, like, you know, ghosts of human beings have unfinished business. Like, they're children. They probably don't have unfinished business. So they completely ruled that out immediately.
I don't know. I had a lot of business when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you weren't normal.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
So this meant that whatever was haunting the doll was likely inhuman, aka a demon, and that it was using the story of Annabelle Higgins to, using it as a ploy to get close to the woman, because its ultimate goal was to transfer to a human vessel and not stay in the doll forever.
I hate it.
Yeah, so now they were dealing with a full-blown demonic infestation. So now what was happening? So throughout the house, the women started to hear knocking noises. They saw flashing lights in different parts of the house, in different rooms. Their beds would shake while they were lying in them, trying to sleep at night. Picture frames would fly off the walls, and the room's temperature would suddenly drop, depending where they were. Yep. According to the Warrens, these are all classic signs of demonic infestation and not a haunting. In probably the creepiest feature of the infestation, when the women would return home from their nursing shifts, they would often see the Raggedy Ann doll standing at the door as they walked in.
No, doll shouldn't be able to stand.
That's the key word here is raggedy, because these dolls are like floppy and they're soft. So like the fact that it's
full of letters from hell, remember?
Yep. So this one's standing bolt upright as they walk in. And if that's not nightmare fuel, I don't know what is. Mm. Yep. Horrifying. So in the most sinister attack that occurs with the Annabelle doll, at this point. Now, it's either a male friend or one of the girl's fiancé. It's a bit unclear who this guy is, but he was sleeping on the couch in the apartment because he was staying there for a little while, and he had a nightmare that the Annabelle doll was strangling him. When he woke up from the dream, the man noticed that he had marks around his neck as if he had been... Yeah, he only had one neck.
He's also a demon.
Yep. Everyone's a demon.
Two-neck Larry.
Yeah. No, just to be clear, he had one neck.
Okay.
Yep. So he noticed that he had marks on his neck as if he had been strangled, and stop strangling Milo.
She keeps trying to lick the microphone.
Yeah, it's tasty.
No, it's my job. I licked the microphone in here.
Yum, 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 yum. But something that was really weird about this was that they were like, oh, he had strangle marks that matched the doll's arms, which I was like...
I really hope they did forensic testing on that, because that's funny. Oh,
I so hope so. Because it would just be like these two like square little things on each side. Like,
yeah. It looks like he was strangled by two marshmallows.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I put that in brackets because I don't know how accurate that is, but that was something I read like multiple times. And he also noticed that the doll was staring at him from across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So in a panic, he got up and he threw the doll across the room and he yelled that it was just nothing more but a rag doll. This was when 7 slashes ripped through his body.
Ah!
Straight across.
No.
Now.
7?
7, yep.
Okay.
Demon.
It's usually 3.
No, this was 7.
That's too many.
Like this.
Laura's doing really terrible hand movements.
Yep. I put up a five hand and a two hand and I put them together and then
five hand and a two hand, huh?
Yeah, a five hand and two.
Not five fingers and two fingers, a five hand and a two hand.
Moving on.
How many necks did he have?
Just one.
Just checking.
Okay, so when it comes to like what happened after this attack, there's a couple of different stories. So some say that he was fine, the slashes healed in a couple of days, like it was just, they were just big scratches. Some reports said he died, and others just didn't mention whether he lived or died, so.
Accurate.
Yeah, not quite sure what happened after that. But the report that either a male friend or a fiance was scratched was in like everything I read. So that happened, I just don't know what happened afterwards.
Right.
So after this attack, this was when the Warrens were immediately called in. So the women went to their church and then the church called in the Warrens and they were like, come here. So as soon as Ed and Lorraine got there, Ed insisted that the women had to burn the Annabelle doll because like all of this stuff was getting really out of hand and he was like, we need to fire this bitch basically.
That sounds like a good idea.
I thought that was a good idea. But apparently, and this is really vague, all it said was that the Annabelle doll didn't like the fact that they wanted to burn her. So I don't know if it was like unburnable or if like the haunting just got more severe or I don't actually know what happened. But basically what happens next is that the Warrens decided to remove the doll from the home and take it to the New England Paranormal Research Center, which was the center that they founded. And this is where they actually keep a whole collection of cursed or possessed objects in like a museum. And they regularly have a priest come in that blesses the whole room.
So that's fine. Don't keep that shit in your house.
No, so the story is it's in an actual museum. You can actually go see it all if you want to.
Fuck yeah.
Which I do. But it's in the States, so we
I also want us to go to Vegas.
Yep.
And go to the Ghost Adventures Museum. Zach Bagans.
Yes, please.
I listen to too much and that's why we drink because I keep wanting to call him Bagel Bites.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they call him.
I think I listened to one of those. Yep.
They call him Bagel Bites. Sorry, aww. Did I stop patting you for more than a second?
Yeah,
I
what apologize. The hell are you doing?
Oh, fuck.
You know your job here. So, yeah, they came and got the doll and they took it to its new home. But something that's really interesting. So when they were actually driving the Annabelle doll, Ed Warren told his wife that they should avoid the main highway because it was going to be a rough ride home. And by all accounts, he was right because on the way home, the doll became so agitated and started freaking out that he actually had to stop and put holy water on it.
Would they do not buy enough ice cream?
I think so.
Mm.
Honestly, I would do the same thing.
I get like that as well.
Yeah. Just feed us, please. So to this day, the Annabelle doll is kept in a thick plexiglass box with good. A sign that says, warning, positively, do not touch. And it's still in the Paranormal Museum.
Okay.
In a disturbing twist, this isn't where the story ends. So there were two more incidents involving the Annabelle doll after she was removed from the nurse's home. The first story was when the Warrens let a student of theirs babysit the doll, but the student became so frightened after a short period of time that that they were reporting that the doll was moving around by itself in different rooms, it was moving position, that the student brought it straight back and was like, I'm not having this in my house. And the Warrens decided to take the doll to another medium for another reading where that medium was like, yeah, this thing is definitely possessed. Didn't say by what, but just like...
Damon.
As a daemon. I think we all know what it is. Now, the second and most frightening event was when a man who was visiting the museum decided to completely ignore the warning sign and decided to antagonize the doll.
Dickhead.
Yes. So he was provoking it. He was taunting it. Apparently, he was saying things like, I dare you to scratch me like you did that dude.
Oh.
All this kind of stuff and was like, do your worst.
I hope he chokes.
He doesn't choke, but something does happen.
Ha-ha.
So after he was doing all this stuff, the people who run the museum saw it and they kicked him straight out. They were like, you need to leave now. 3 hours later, he was in a motorcycle accident where he died and his girlfriend was in the hospital for a year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with diamonds.
Exactly. Well, I think the key phrasing was do your worst. And then it did. So, and he was like an avid motorbike rider.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like, okay, bitch. But yeah, he died.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not so.
Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend was on the back of the motorbike with him. And
oh, poor girl. She did not ask for a dickhead for a boyfriend.
She didn't, know. She lived, though, but she was in the hospital for a year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Damon done did its darndest.
Yep. I think that was like such stellar phrasing that that now has to be the title. Yeah. That Damon done did its darndest. So that's pretty much the whole story of Annabelle. So the whole stuff about like origins of Annabelle, like a toy maker and like the couple, and or none of that happened. So that was all just for the movies. And the story about, you know, being in the Warren's house, that didn't really happen either. But it was all like influenced by the true events. So
yeah.
But that's what I meant. Like it all got elongated into a 3-movie series.
So there's no concrete way to know how the Damon got in the Annabelle doll.
No.
Hmm.
The biggest theory, because you hear lots of stories about like demons can be floating around.
They're just chilling.
Yeah, but then as soon as they were like, yes, you can stay in the doll, that was when the real infestation started. Yeah. So the idea was that the doll, I think that I read somewhere, it was like the demon was using the doll as more of like a tool to freak them out. Like that's why it was just kind of moving around a bit. So the demon was more manipulating it. But then once they invited it in, it actually started possessing it. And then its goal was to then move to a person. But the Warrens came in and they saved the day.
Always say no to demon telemarketers.
Yes. So just to finish up this particular chapter of my investigation, as I was reading about the Annabelle doll, I found out some more interesting information about the Warrens, which I thought was pretty cool to share. So the first was that Ed and Lorraine Warren investigated more than 10,000 cases of paranormal activity all over the world.
That's busy.
Yeah. So they even came to Australia. They went to Asia. They went to Europe. They went to all kinds of places. They went everywhere. And they had a global career for over 65 years.
Hell yeah.
So this is why these guys are pretty infamous. And they worked for a really long time. The couple only ever requested their travel expenses to be covered. So they were like, pay for like our accommodation or our flights. All of our services will be free. So they didn't charge for any, you know, mediumship.
It was a break even more than a profit making thing.
Pretty much. So the way they made their money, because obviously like they did make money, was from writing books about their cases because people want to hear it. They worked with movie franchises on different projects and they do lectures. So they go to different education institutes and they talk about demonology and things like that. So I thought that was pretty stand up of them.
That's cool.
Yeah. So they were like flying overseas and they were like, look, pay us to go there and we'll do everything, which if you remember from the Conjuring one I did last time, you know, they visited multiple times. So they go back and back and back, and they were there with the family for like a week at a time, and they didn't charge at all for that, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Their investigations often included working with other professionals, including nurses, doctors, police officers, and researchers, which is a big thumbs up from us because you know how we feel about exorcisms without doctors.
Yes.
And they also, they refuse to perform exorcisms. They always leave it to priests and stuff. So they work with them too. And finally, this one I had to share just for you because I thought you'd want to hear it. So they say 7 out of 10 of their cases, which remember that they did over, how much was it?
10,000 or something.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
They did over 10,000. So in 7,000 of their cases, they involved someone with a Ouija board asking the question, is there a spirit here?
Ah, fuck off.
So don't ever use a Ouija board. Just don't do it. Like 7 out of 10 of the cases they went to involved that question on a Ouija board.
Nope.
Don't do it.
Bad news bears.
Don't do it, guys. So yeah, that finishes up part 2 of my investigation. Part 3 is going to be next episode.
That's exciting.
Yay.
I hate it. I hate all of it.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
I don't like the doll standing in the doorway.
Mm-hmm. That was the part that got me too. I was like, no thank you.
Oh, it's bad. I'm uncomfortable. And I don't know if it's just pasta or not. I don't think it is just the pasta.
This pasta's fighting you back.
It really is. I just ate too much.
Oh, okay.
I got too excited.
Yeah. I mean, pasta gets me pretty excited too, so I understand.
Wow.
Yep. I thought you'd like that one.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Please talk about something else. What's your recommendation station?
Recommendation station. Okay, so there's a show on Stan called The Affair.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, it's about an affair.
Interesting.
But it's about a lot.
I didn't expect
that. It's actually about multiple affairs.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's actually about multiple affairs, but it's about a lot more than that. Season 5 just came out on Stan. So that is my recommendation station.
So there's 5 seasons of that. Is it like political or is it just sort of drama?
very much drama. It's pretty miserable. I'm not going to lie. It's not an uplifting show. The ending was kind of nice. But yeah, it's like, I found out I'm a bit of a sucker for really horrible shows where they're like very emotional and people are miserable and there's bad people doing bad things. I love it. I eat that shit up. It's probably why I'm really into maths this season. But yeah, which is Married at First Sight for people. I just realized not everyone knows what that is. But
I didn't. I thought really? You said maths.
No, maths.
Like doing math.
No, M-A-F-S. It's a terrible, amazing reality TV show where they get strangers and they pair them up and then they go get married the first time they meet and then they go, yeah, you guys are destined to be together. And funnily enough, the answer is usually not. So
I hate reality TV.
I love it. I don't like all of it. Like, I don't watch like MasterChef or cooking shows or things like that. It's just the dating shows.
I think the only reality TV show I ever liked was The Circle.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
It's not any good, but it's just funny because they're very, like, they catfish people, but like on purpose.
Oh,
because you can't, you don't meet anybody.
That's the one on Netflix, right?
Probably.
Okay.
But the one that I watched, I think, was The UK Circle.
Okay.
And like, you sort of like, you never meet the people until like the last like five or whatever at the end have dinner together, and just nobody is fucking who they expected them to be.
Oh,
like,
because
you can use anyone's pictures, you can say whatever you want, you can like, and you can go on like these sort of dates, not dates, whatever, where you like hang out and you're both in like your own little pod, but you're separated by a wall so you can't see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you can just totally fucking lie and catfish and just, it's very good.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
What was that other, it was another dating show, but it was something like that where they had like a group of guys and a group of girls and they basically like speed date each other, but you don't see what each other looks like. So it was all supposed to be like personality based, but that was just as much of a shit show. So
yeah, I don't know. I just like The Circle because it encourages catfishing and I find that funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
because there was a guy that went on there and he pretended he was his real life girlfriend.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he decided to use his real life girlfriend's pictures. So he was like this massive dude that was like pretending to be his really hot girlfriend. And like him and this guy were like flirting and he was like having a great time with it. But the other dude, the other person was also a total catfish on there. So it was two catfishes catfishing each other. And I just find that very funny because they're also kind of aware that it's likely that's what's happening.
Mm.
But yeah. It's great.
That's amazing.
That's the only reality TV I've ever enjoyed. That and Taskmaster, which I don't think counts. It's a comedy show. Sketch comedy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that doesn't count. That reminds me, if you ever watched the actual like catfish show?
No.
Oh, because that happens as well, where it's like a catfish catfishing a catfish. And they just, they meet and they're like, you don't know who you are. And they're like, yeah,
but
you
know about that one guy that was on Catfish that thought he was dating Katy Perry secretly for 10 years.
That's a good one.
That's as far as I got.
The episode finished and he still wasn't convinced that it wasn't her.
Oh, God, buddy.
Yeah. And, like, he had an engagement ring and everything.
Oh.
Yeah. He was, like, fully into it and he's like, no, it's actually her. And they're like, dude, it's really not.
Oh.
He's like, sweetie, no.
I don't really have a recommendation station because I just got Disney Plus, so I've just been watching Marvel movies.
Okay.
Oh, I have a gripe.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So, fuck Sony.
Okay.
And the reason behind this is, so Disney owns Marvel, right? All of the Avengers, all of the Marvel property movies are on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Except for the first of the Tom Holland Spider-Man. So Spider-Man Homecoming is on Netflix.
Right.
Spider-Man Far From Home, which is the second Tom Holland Spider-Man,
isn't
on anything.
Okay.
You can rent it on, like, YouTube or on, like, Amazon Prime, but Sony is so stingy with it that it's just not on any actual platforms. So you can't watch the entire MCU progression on one platform. And that really annoys me.
That's really annoying. I haven't even seen all of the movies, but yeah, that bothers me just because I'm very like particular.
Tanner and I had a fight because I wanted to watch Spider-Man Homecoming, and I was like, it's on Disney Plus, because logically it should be on Disney Plus. I'm moving the microphone. I'm so angry.
Yeah,
we had a fight and I got upset because he said no, I couldn't have Disney Plus.
I then won the fight and got Disney Plus.
Okay. That sounds healthy.
And it was on Netflix.
Oh boy.
I'm not angry.
You're not angry at all.
I'm very angry.
Yeah, I could tell.
Stupid. So fuck you, Sony.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Little PSA for everybody.
Disney, fix it, please.
Yeah. That, please. Yeah, that really bothered me.
Yeah. It's just very annoying. Yeah. And so now I can't watch the second Spider-Man because I refuse to pay $6 to rent it.
Yeah, that's really shitty.
I'm going to buy the DVD from JB Hi-Fi.
But isn't that, like, still funding Sony, though?
Yeah, but then I can watch it whenever I want and I don't have to keep, like, hiring it because they refuse to put it on a streaming service.
Okay. Just take the DVD price, watch it more than that amount of times that you would, like, pay to rent it, and then you're like,
I can do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. There you go.
I can look at Jake Gyllenhaal for that many times. That's fine.
Oh, he's so fun to look at.
He's so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't have a recommendation station. I just think that Sony's a piece of shit. So, there you go.
I have another recommendation just based off Jake Gyllenhaal.
My recommendation is watch The Circle.
See, I was going to say go watch Brokeback Mountain.
You know, I've never watched it.
Go. That's your homework.
It's not my kind of movie.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, they're so in love and it's forbidden.
I hate love stories. I hate that Deadpool had a love story in it.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Why don't you want to be happy?
I am happy. Maybe that's why I don't care.
Oh, no. Okay, Brokeback Mountain's different. It's just for the fact that it has Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal in love. Just watch it for that.
I just hate love stories.
Just, like, look past it and just watch them for, like, an hour and a bit.
Maybe.
It's such a good... And then it has a really tragic ending.
I also only kind of like cowboy movies if it's like A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah. Okay, it's not like,
or Magnificent. Is it Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
They're great.
A Million Ways to Die in the West, like, I think I've told you this before, but it's one of those movies where you don't remember it as being really funny, and then you rewatch it and you piss yourself
off.
There's
laughing. So many things that you also forget that's in there.
Literally, it's a really long movie.
It's great.
It's so good. But no, it's not like A Million Ways to Die in the West, but it's still worth watching.
Oh, yeah, nothing's that good. But
yeah.
Also, Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
That was a shitty ending.
I haven't seen it.
That's good. You should watch it.
Okay.
It's an action movie.
See, I don't like action. All right, I will watch it if you watch Brokeback Mountain.
No.
And I won't watch it then.
I mean, I can say I will, but I won't.
No, you need to just appreciate it.
I have a feeling I've watched part of it for, like, a school assignment or something, and then I just didn't care enough to continue.
It's such a beautiful movie.
I'm not into it.
They should have made it, okay?
Oh, did they die?
No.
Oh.
I can't say what happened.
Tell me.
You need to watch it.
Tell me.
No.
I'm just going to Google it.
Mm-hmm. One of them dies. No! It's not okay. Can't look at you right now.
It's like Titanic. One of them dies, and that's funny.
Yeah, okay, look, I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Everybody does. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, I know. That's like my favorite movie, but even I have a problem with that.
Titanic is your favorite movie?
Yes.
Wow, that explains a lot.
Doesn't that just, like, my whole personality? Like,
I just realized something. So you like horror movies?
Yes.
And love stories?
Yes.
I like sci-fi fantasy action movies.
We've got everything covered. Job done.
Yeah, we're perfect. And we both like documentaries, but only if it's true crime.
Yeah.
Cool.
Don't try and teach me anything else.
No. Unless it's David Attenborough.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, only sometimes.
Yeah. You got to be in a mood for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it puts you to sleep.
Oh, Tanner, I bought every David Attenborough documentary he'd ever made for Tanner for Christmas one year. I wrapped them individually and hid them around the house.
Did he actually find them all, or are there still some, like,
his brother lurking? Found some.
Okay.
And then he gave up, and then... Because one of them was just in the DVD rack, and that threw him.
Oh, yeah. That's diabolical. Yeah. I would not have found that.
Yeah. But I think we've watched them all. Because mm-hmm. we used to watch them all the time, but sometimes they just make me too sad now.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the ones that are like, the planet is dying, and here's why. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, I get that. I just don't like the ones where the seals eat the penguins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it just makes me so sad.
Yeah. Just they're watch just it. Doing their darndest.
Just watch it.
Marley melted.
Yep. And that's like the closest she can get by still being in the bed. So.
Yeah.
Yep. I just, sometimes I just don't want to watch beautiful fluffy creatures being eaten by other scary creatures, and it just upsets me.
Or by other beautiful fluffy creatures that you then can't look at the same. I'm looking at you, polar bears.
Oh, the fucking polar bears. And they come up with, and they're like,
they're all red.
It's all bloodstained. And I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's terrifying. When baby animals don't make it.
Oh my God. I have cried so many times. I know.
That's why I haven't watched David Attenborough in a while.
No. Or you know when it's like a really sudden close up of like a really gross bug?
And it's I don't like, mind that.
I can't deal with that. I'm like,
I don't like bugs in real life, but on the TV, they're fine.
See, I can't remember if this was like a David Attenborough or another one, but there was like a spider the size of a dog and it just really freaked me out.
This is... Have you heard the documentary narrated by Benedict Cumberbatch?
And he can't say penguin? He says
penguins.
I thought it was penguin.
I think he says penguin.
Yeah.
Or penwing. But yeah, some shots he says penguin and sometimes he says pengling.
Oh God.
And it's very funny.
Yeah, I watched, he was on like a talk show and he was talking about that and they were like, can you say this word? And he was like, do I have to? And he still couldn't say it.
Aww, that's adorable.
It was really adorable.
You know, my favorite name for, Benedict Cumberpatch is Benadryl Cucumberpatch. And that's where we're going to leave today's episode. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
Bye.
Bye guys.